Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Well Community Church. If we have not met, my name is Brad. I get the privilege of sharing here on this final week for us of Advent and in this Christmas season, celebrating the birth of Christ. Welcome, of course, to those here in the auditorium, those joining us outside in our theater. We had people bringing their blankets and chairs that are joining us out there, enjoying the hot chocolate. And then, of course, those in the student center. We're just making some room tonight to celebrate the Christmas story. And as we get started, I want to say a special welcome to the kids that are here. We have some kids and students that are in the house with us in all of our gatherings. Welcome to them. Here at the Well Community Church, we value the next generation. Most of the time, we have them in kids ministry. Many of you, in fact, hundreds of you, serving with our kids in our children's ministry. They do such a tremendous job partnering with parents to present the gospel to our kids. But every so often, we want all the chaos in here. And so we're going to enjoy that here together. I hope you've enjoyed this Advent season. Advent is something that is new for some, depending on your church tradition, if you even have one. But Advent, of course, celebrates Jesus being our hope, our peace, our joy, and the love of God incarnate for us. What I'd like to do in this final week of Advent is focus on that idea of the love of God. And this will be for some of you maybe a sweet reminder of the Christmas story, a reminder of what Christmas is all about, of what Jesus accomplished for us. For others, it's going to be a bit of an invitation, an opportunity for you to consider afresh, what does it mean for us as those created in the image of God to live in a relationship with God through Jesus. The Christmas story doesn't begin in a manger. I know that's where most of us kind of think it starts. The Christmas story actually begins in a garden in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible tells us right from the beginning that there is a God who out of love spoke a creation into existence and then handmade humankind in his image. And in fact, Genesis 1 verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He created them male and female. Beautiful picture, by the way, of the love of God handmaking you. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are handmade on purpose by a creator who loves you and who formed you in your mother's womb. You are not an accident. You are not an oops. You did not evolve. You are not descendant of some primate some generations ago. You are actually created in the very image of God, which means our worth, value, and dignity comes from him. Our intellect, emotion, and will comes from him. Male and female come from him. He created every nation under the earth. It all came from him. Ethnicities are from him. As diverse as we might be, we find our unity in the fact that we all share a common creator who created us and shaped us in love. But then something terrible happened. And if you understand your Bible, you know that what happened is humankind made some terrible decisions in the early days. They chose to do life apart from God, and therefore sin came into the world, and sin infected the human condition. And so all of us, even those wonderful children that are in these auditoriums with us here this evening, are all affected by sin, which simply means we are separated from God and honestly separated from one another. We inherit death. Death comes into the world both spiritually and physically. We inherit shame and guilt. We have a tendency to cover and to hide. Even our toddlers understand that. They're sneaking into the Christmas candy. They literally have the chocolate on their face. And you ask them, did you eat the chocolate? And they'll swear they did not. They come about that naturally. We also have inherited corruption, which means the image of God is defaced. It is not erased, but it is defaced. Something is desperately wrong with us as humans. And in some ways, intuitively, we know that. We don't know why. We may not be able to articulate what's going on. We may not even know what the solution is, but you might find yourself here, even tonight, just knowing something's not quite right. And if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, it's not. You are still separated from God. We also inherit, by the way, autonomy. And that is the hardwired, born with it tendency to do life alone, on our own, and apart from God. In fact, the Bible is going to say that we are sinners by deed and by nature, that we are brought forth in sin and conceived in iniquity, and we have inherited that from our fathers and their fathers and their fathers all the way back to the early pages of the book of Genesis. However, there is good news. And the good news that we celebrate is the good news that was brought to us in this Christmas season, that even though apart from him there is none righteous, not even one, even though apart from him our good deeds are like filthy rags before God, even though that apart from him even the best intentions of coming to a Christmas gathering at the Well Community Church, apart from Jesus Christ, it's filthy rags presented to God. But God didn't leave us without hope this Christmas season. In fact, then came the love of the Christmas story. John chapter 1 puts it this way, that God made a way for us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. John's giving us a glimpse of something special is happening in the gospel accounts. That the full embodiment of God is now on display. And in fact, he's going to tell us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That the real love of the Christmas story is the fact that God condescended humanity and incarnated full deity, clothed in humanity in that manger, and he now dwells among us. And the Word in its fullness, now clothed in humanity, lived the life that we could not live. And by love, by his grace, he became flesh. In fact, 1 John tells us that God is love. By this, the love of God was manifest in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That the real joy and the real love and the real hope and the real peace of the Christmas story is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is the Christmas story. And we can get lost in all of the accoutrements that surround it, and we can get distracted by all the wonderful things that culture has brought into the Christmas narrative. But in these moments, we want to come back to the truth of the love of God for you. Now, you may not feel like you deserve love. You may not feel like you've earned love. You may not feel like you qualify for the love of God. And if that's you, you're in good company. None of us do. But thankfully, it's not about how you feel or what you deserve or what you've earned. In fact, it's offered to you by grace through faith. That you don't have to try out to earn the love of God. He simply loves you. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says that the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. See, the good news of the love of the gospel is in the Christmas season, we have a manger of deity clothed in humanity and all the humility that can communicate, all the frailty with all the children here. Those of you who've had children, you know the frailty of an infant. God chose in the weakness of flesh to incarnate and then live among us that he might then do something powerful for us. He died on our behalf. So what does that mean for you? And for me, it means that we were created by God to be in relationship with him. And to do life apart from him, something's going to feel just a little wonky. Something's not quite right. But God, by his grace, came that he might reconcile us back to himself. Romans puts it this way in Romans chapter 5, that one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That reconciliation does not come through religious endeavors. It does not come through moral platitudes. It does not come through self-determination. That reconciliation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, because he's rescued us from the penalty of sin. 1 John chapter 4, it says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a satisfaction of the wrath of God for us." So it's interesting when we talk about the Christmas story, you know, we typically would talk about Mary and Joseph in the manger and there's no room at the inn and here come the wise men and all that is wonderful and here's the shepherds and the angels and yes, but that's just the beginning of the story. What we understand is the story begins there, but ultimately it's foreshadowing what's coming then for Christ on the cross, because Colossians tells us that he rescued us from the domain of darkness and he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he offers this gift freely. Listen to how John puts it in John chapter 1. He says, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." See, really the gospel and the love of God this Christmas season, to be clarified for us, it's not simply the manger, but it's the fact that he offers himself for us. And by offering himself for us, we who believe in his name are now reconciled back into a right relationship with God. Our sin, as we've said here at the Well so many times, given to him, his righteousness given to us, that we might be reconciled to our living God. And I will say this, it's very difficult to find true joy, peace, and hope in life apart from him. It's him. Now, some of you have come to the end of this year. 2024 has been maybe for you very difficult, and you're here wondering if there's hope, wondering if there's peace, wondering if there's joy, wondering if there is a God who loves you. And the answer is a resounding yes, because he has offered for you Jesus Christ. John says it this way in 1 John chapter 5. He says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He or she who has the Son has life. He or she who does not have the Son of God does not have life." He says, "I write these things for those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life." The gift of the gospel is the assurance that comes with it. You can know you have eternal life. It's not a he loves me not, I hope I end up on the right side of the ledger. It's not a, well, I've done some good and I've done some scoundrel things and I hope the good outweighs the bad. It's not that at all. In fact, he writes these things for those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Now, some of you are here and you're spiritually hungry, you're curious, you're interested, and you don't know what's next. And I would just encourage you to consider Christ. There's none like him. He, in him, all the fullness of deity dwelt in bodily form, and in him we're made full. He came that we might have life and have it abundant. He came to seek and save the lost. He said it's not the healthy who need the physician, it's the sick. And he has come to redeem a broken world to himself, that he would be our hope and he would be our peace and he would be our joy and he would be our love. And so this Christmas story is a story of the love of God providing a way for you and I. With that in mind, I'd like to read the Christmas narrative. For the kids that are listening, this may sound very familiar. I want you to think about maybe the nativity that's at Grandma and Grandpa's house, or maybe you've got one at your place with baby Jesus and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. Here's the story behind the Christmas season. Matthew chapter 1. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her and planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census would be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone was to go their way and register for the census, each to their own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. The Christmas story is not a new story. You've heard it 1,000 times. The Christmas story has no surprise ending. There's no twist that you didn't see coming. There's nothing that you think, why didn't I know that? The Christmas story has always been about the love of God poured out for you. The Christmas story has always been about the love of God poured out for you, that through Jesus Christ, we might have life and be reconciled to our God who loves us and wants to be with us in love. The uniqueness of the story is that it's through the lens of the humility of a manger, the suffering of a cross, the triumph of an empty tomb, and the glory of a second advent one day. Now, we celebrate this Advent season not simply the love of God poured out in this Christmas story, but also the future rule and reign of our God who promises that one day he will return. And we have the opportunity now by God's grace to be reconciled into a right relationship with our God who wants to be with us in love. And if you find yourself here this evening and you just feel like something's missing, it is. Something's not quite right. It's not. All the things you've tried to satisfy that longing of your soul have not satisfied you. They never will. It will only be through the person of Jesus Christ and you placing your faith in him that you can actually be reconciled to your God, brought back into a right relationship with the one who created you in love, that he would be with you, that he would direct you and guide you, forgive you of your sins, and invite you into the journey of this messy process of life with God together. Amen. So as we celebrate this Christmas season, we just want to remember the gospel. The Christmas season is about the beauty of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate what he has done on our behalf. And whether this story is familiar for you and it just brings back memories that you've known for generations, or maybe this is something that's fresh and new, could we all come back to the work of the cross this Christmas season of a God who died for us as the highest expression of his love? This is the love of God, that he gave Christ to be the satisfaction for our sins. Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we celebrate this Christmas season, the beauty of the gospel. And we thank you that it is about the humility of the manger. It's about the triumph on the cross. It's about the hope of the empty tomb, the future glory of the return of our King. So much bound up in this Christmas message. And so, Lord, here in this Christmas season, we want to remember him who was so faithful to redeem a fallen humanity. And as we celebrate as a church family, we're just mindful that you, Lord, are so good to us. Thank you this Christmas season that we get to celebrate you. And we'll pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.